From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. There were new developments today in the investigation into the leak of a CIA operative's name and whether Bush administration officials illegally disclosed that information. A federal judge has rejected the protests of two well-known reporters who resisted being called to testify before a grand jury looking into the case. One of those reporters may be facing jail time as a result. Joining us now to discuss what's been learned today is NPR Washington editor Ron Elving. And Ron, let's back up just a bit here. This is the case of Valerie Plame, a CIA employee who had done undercover work and whose identity was revealed by Robert Novak in a newspaper column just about a year ago.
That's right, Melissa. And she is also the wife of Joseph Wilson, a former ambassador who went to Africa seeking evidence of Iraqi efforts to build a nuclear weapon. That was about 18 months ago. And after that mission, he came back, and after he had filed his report, he was publicly critical of the administration on the weapons issue, published a piece in the New York Times about it that was embarrassing to the White House, and shortly thereafter, his wife's undercover status was ruined by this leak.
And that's what this investigation is about. Who leaked the name? Who are the journalists who were involved in this case?
Well, they're pretty high-profile people. One is Tim Russert, NBC TV's Washington bureau chief and host of the network's weekly talk show Meet the Press. The other is Matthew Cooper, White House correspondent for Time magazine.
And neither of whom were the folks who initially aired or printed Valerie Plame's name. That was Robert Novak.
That's right. But we don't know at this point whether Bob Novak has been called to testify or has testified or has not wanted to testify. What we learned today, with the unsealing of the order from Judge Thomas Hogan, federal district court judge here in D.C., was that Russert and Cooper were called and that both resisted. They filed a legal motion against the subpoena, and that Russert was told he had to cooperate and subsequently worked out an agreement with the special prosecutor, that's Patrick Fitzgerald, and that he has already met with the special prosecutor Saturday and answered questions for him that will then be shared with the grand jury.
Now, he hasn't appeared before the grand jury itself.
No, he has not.
What's known about what Tim Russert did tell the prosecutors?
NBC put out a statement today saying that Russert had told the prosecutor he first learned Valerie Plame's name when he read Bob Novak's column about her. In other words, he hadn't received any previous leak information about her. And NBC was at pains to say that Tim Russert was not asked any questions that would have compromised any confidential source.
And it's Matthew Cooper of Time magazine who is potentially in a lot more trouble. What's his situation?
His situation is a little different. The court has also refused his arguments against his subpoena, told him he must testify, and he has refused to testify. He's refused to comply. And that means he's been held in contempt by this judge, and that could mean he would go to jail and wait there until this grand jury is dismissed or until a period of 18 months had passed or until he decided to comply.
No, he's not in jail now.
No, he is out on bail, pending the outcome of his appeal. Times lawyers are asking the next level up in the federal court system to review this order and to overturn it. That would be the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit. We'll see if they read the law any differently.
This ruling from Judge Hogan that was made public today, what was his rationale? What First Amendment arguments did he find did not hold water in this case?
Well, it's basically a balancing between the rights of journalists to have many sources of information to bring people the news and bring people information about government against the obligation of every citizen to appear before a grand jury to assist a grand jury in investigation of a crime. Those are two pretty important issues. And the judge relied on a 1972 precedent in the United States Supreme Court, Brandsburg versus Hayes, which said that in the absence of certain special circumstances, a journalist must comply with a grand jury subpoena like anybody else.
NPR's Ron Elving. Ron, thanks very much.
Thank you, Melissa.